Thanks very much, Michael. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Gary, it's been a terrific career both in footy and cricket, and a lot of people would like to know exactly where Gary Cowmeadow hails from.
I was actually born down the Huon Valley at a little place called Huonville, about 46k south of Hobart. Yes, went to school there and did a lot of my early days playing sport around the Huonville Franklin area.
And you're sports mad as a kid?
I was always interested in any type of sport, especially if it was a competitive sport. My father was he was a good player. He played, I think, in two premierships with Franklin, one in 63 and one a couple of years later. So, yeah, I was always interested in the football scene.
And I guess you'd progressed through the junior ranks. When did you end up shifting up to Penguin, up onto the northwest coast?
Around 71, I think it might have been, somewhere around there. In the younger days, I was fortunate enough to represent Tasmania in the under 16 schoolboys in 68-69, and we decided then that we needed to get out of there, and Dad got an offer to go to the paper pulp mill in Penguin. So we moved up to Penguin, and we bought a little lunch bar cafe thing, so Mum ran that, and Dad worked out the paper pulp, and I started my apprenticeship at the top of the town in Burnie.
Top of the town.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of crazy stuff's going on over there. You graduated to play senior football in the end with Penguin. And can you remember that first game or much about it?
Oh, not really. No, it was it was just like a kid. I just loved playing sport. I mean, I actually played my first league game in Huonville. With some really good people down there, and a couple of names come to mind with David Barnes and Brian Lazaret, Snowy Allen and Peter Griggs. They were really good good footballers down there in those days. So, yeah, I can't really remember my first game. I had some really good times there with Penguin. I had some great memories with, some really good people, and Peter Lerney and Dula King, and obviously went on and won a premiership a few years later.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a Penguin theme, Gary, over the last few weeks with me, because we've had Pat McCarthy and we've had Big Bill Williams. He was he's been on chatting about different things. So Penguin, that area, that whole Penguin and Ulverston area, and let's say Tasmania in general, has just produced so many great sports people, hasn't it? And the northwest coast is just sports mad, isn't it?
It's always been the same. It's always been very competitive. A lot of really good players have come out of there. I mean, you only look at some of the players that have played AFL, VFL. Yeah, it's it's really both the cricket and the football.
Hmm.
As far as competitive. Camaraderie, but also competitive. There's always, like I said, they're prepared to help out and, train hard.
Yeah. Now, growing up, I suppose you'd have idols. Was there any particular footballers that you sort of looked in the VFL or locally that were the ones that you aspired to be, or did you just want to be your own man?
I always admired Peter Bedford. And obviously I got to meet him when I went to South Melbourne, and, both him and Bobby Skilton, it was just an honour to even be in the same room with those two guys.
And Peter Bedford had a history in footy and cricket, didn't he? He was a pretty handy cricketer in his day too, from memory.
Yes, he was. He played for South Melbourne with Ian Redpath and Peter Bedford. I had 2 years there in first-class cricket in Melbourne, 1974 and 75, I think.
Hmm.
And, we had a really good team. And, had a couple of good wicket hauls, I think, from memory. I think I got a couple of four-fours, and I remember getting Keith Stackpole one day.
Yeah. But,
he actually edged it on, but I'll still take the wicket.
Yeah, legend, Stacky. How did you end up playing footy for South Melbourne? Because obviously someone must have come knocking on the door and said, young cows, come on, come play with us.
Yeah, well, a gentleman called Jim Kavanagh, who was the recruitment officer for South Melbourne, had been in touch with me some time before. You know, it's probably just after playing for Tasmania, and I was then elected as vice-captain of the All-Australian team, and Noel Carter was captain.
Mm.
And... So, yeah, Jim Kavanagh, and I'm on my case for probably a year and a half, I suppose. And anyway, in the end, I said, yeah, okay. So he took me over to Melbourne for a weekend, and I had a little bit of a look around. And, you know, Tony Franklin and I both basically went at the same time. So we shared over there. We shared accommodation, which made life a lot easier for me, because I think I was only about 19 or 20 at the time. So it was a big step for a country kid.
Didn't stay long, Gary. Was it just probably for a young kid over there and just a little bit too big, or did you just think, oh, well, no, it just wasn't for me, the whole scene?
Oh, I think it was for me, but it was just everything was happening too fast. It was too fast, too quick. You know, like it's so different now. It's so much better now. You know, like we just got sort of left, well, for the first 3 months, I think we were in a hotel. Near the South Melbourne markets, and then we were put into other accommodation on St Kilda Road. But yeah, it's just it was pretty hard.
Yeah, and just and got back home, and then back to Penguin and representing Tasmania again in 76 and playing with the immortals of like Peter Hudson, Paul Sproul, was Michael Roach, of course, went on to be a gun player for Richmond, and Peter Daniels, who took North Launceston to so much success, Neil Maynard, another North Launceston player. That must have been a huge honour for you to play in a Tasmanian team that was just had so many stars in it.
It was probably the highlight of my footy career, really. And yes, there's also Vin Waite, who, you know, like he was probably one of the toughest blokes going around at the time as far as AFL, VFL football went. But, I'd say that would be, you know, like my footy highlight. You know, even the three games in Melbourne, you know, I sort of, I played against Kelvin Moore, fullback for Hawthorne.
Mm. Yeah,
and that was my first game, and you know, like I think I was sick for about an hour before the start of the game. So
yeah,
it was all a bit nerve wracking.
Yeah, and player welfare, as you said, has come an awful long way. Young kids go across to the big league, if you like, and they can go to the other side of the country, go to Perth, and they can go a long way away. But they certainly are a lot sort of better looked after these days, aren't they? And I guess you wish you could have had something like that, because you might have stayed and then carved out a career.
Well, there's every possibility. Yeah, it's I'm pleased that, you know, it is the way it is now, and you know, like and as far as remuneration goes, you know, like they get looked after so much better. Yeah, you know, like we were not very well paid in those days.
Yeah, can you remember how much you got pocketed for your three games for South Melbourne? You probably just enough to get a taxi cab around Melbourne for a couple of days.
I was probably fortunate. I actually got a $5,000 signing on fee, which back then was quite a bit of money. But payments and that were pretty quiet. I think it was probably $25 a week or something we got, you know, for our keep, basically.
So if a young Gary Cowmeadow was coming through the ranks right now, and you've got enormous talent as a cricketer, and you could obviously good enough to play league footy, what would you choose?
I'd probably football.
Hmm.
Probably football. I couldn't give you a reason why, but I don't know. I think I was probably better at football than what I was at cricket. Yeah, I played summer was cricket, winter was footy, and you know, like in those days, that's just the way it was. And you know, I think, you know, like it's a little bit, it's obviously a lot different now, but I'd play football.
I'm speaking with Gary Cowmeadow. And Gary, you played cricket on the northwest coast for Penguin and Ulverston in 75 and 76, 65 wickets at 10 apiece for the Blues. And then when Penguin wound up, you jumped to Ulverston, and in 77, 78, you won the NWTCA bowling averages with 37 wickets at 9. What was it like playing coastal cricket? I know that when I was coming in as a young kid, they said, there's this Cowmeadow bloke, and thank goodness he's coming toward the end of his career, when I was just coming into coastal cricket, because I think he used to hurdle it down fairly quickly. What was it like?
Oh, it was good fun. I don't know about the end of his career. I think it was probably only about 22 or 3 or something at that stage. But yeah, I used to bowl probably as quick as I could, you know, and really relied on speed because, you know, like, it, again, I sort of mainly self-taught myself. There was not really anyone around in those days that, you know, sort of did a lot of coaching. So, yeah, I'm probably a lot of self-taught as far as that goes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you, I think the thing, if you've got some, if you've got natural talent and you can harness that and you see what succeeds, I guess you can really hone in on that at that level. And but that changes a little bit when you get to first class cricket. What was the transition like from going sort of club cricket to playing first class cricket and one day cricket? Because you've got a pretty handy one day record at least too, and took a number of wickets at first class level.
Yeah, well, I love watching Dennis Lee, Ian Botham. You know, like as far as their cricket went, I had to rely a little bit more on trying to swing the ball, trying to do something off the wicket with it. Yeah, so I've just tried to work on my game, trying to improve my run-up, trying to get the ball to move off the wicket and to be able to swing it a little bit. It was always a little bit harder when you're playing, you know, with, you know, first-class players because, you know, obviously they're the best, but, you know... in Australia, or even, you know, like I was fortunate enough to play a couple of games with against England on their, you know, they're doing their test lead up. And, you know, players like Derek Randall and Botham and, you know, like I was out of my comfort zone, but it was just awesome to be, you know, involved and really had a bit of a blast. And David Gower and these sort of guys, it's, you know, something that dreams are made of.
And you played in Tassie's first Sheffield Shield win. Do you remember a little bit about that?
Don't really remember a lot. No, more the Gillette Cup final. That was pretty was pretty intense. But yeah, it's well, obviously we had a reunion a couple of years back and it was great to catch up with Jack Simmons and Roger Woolley, David Boone, all these sort of guys. Unfortunately, Tony Bennyworth and John Hampshire have passed on, but yeah, it was, you know, again, that was probably the highlight of the cricketing career as well.
I don't know how I got there, but as a young kid, I was there, and you couldn't move at the TCA ground. It was just absolutely incredible, and I think that sort of harnessed my passion to play cricket. It was just the ultimate underdog beating the team from WA full of stars, etc. It was just an incredible game.
Yeah, it was. When we went back to the reunion, we actually watched a lot of the replays on the you know, like of the game and the wickets and. That was great to see because a lot of it I actually forgotten. So and old Jack Simmons, old Flat Jack as he was known.
Yep.
Yeah, Trevor Docking was there, Roger Woolley, obviously Bernie was, you know, he's still there, still involved.
So how did you cram it all in, Gary? You're playing footy, you're playing cricket, you must have been just 24/7. 52 weeks of the year, you were going madly on sport. How did you do it?
Oh well, I think that was half the issue. You know, like you get burnt out. You know, like you go hard. You know, as a young kid, you think you can do it forever. But you know, like I think, you know, like I had my dad was running me around, and you know, he was someone that was pushing me a lot of the time. You know, you can do this and you can do that. Yeah, it was hard, but it was worth it. You know, like you just do it. I don't know. I just remember him. You know, sort of driving me here, driving me there, and you know, then you're training, and you know, you're forever
either training cricket or training football, and then, you know, trying to fit work in between it as well. But, you know, I just love sport. I mean, I don't play much of anything these days. I play a bit of golf and, a bit of swimming to try and keep myself reasonably fit. So
where do you reside these days, and what do you do?
I'm actually living in Sydney at the moment. I'm living in Homebush, which is quite near Olympic Park.
Yeah.
So I can actually go to the Olympic Park Aquatic Centre and have a swim there, or go to the golf course and have a bit of a game of golf there. But I'm still working. I'm still burning steaks. You probably know I'm a chef by trade, so I've been in and out of the game on and off, but I'm just working at an aged care facility at the moment, so just doing part-time there and quite enjoying it, actually.
No, it's tremendous. I mean, for anyone who had the amount of talent that you had both in footy and cricket, and as I said, trying to cram it all in, 29 wickets, first-class wickets, and then in 8 1 days you took 15 wickets at 17. And I guess just a final one, Gary, did you enjoy playing the one dayers just a little bit more than the Shield games? Because I think you're a left-hander and you used to like to give the ball a bit of a clout too, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I was never really that well known for my batting ability. Actually, I was talking to someone a few weeks ago and they were talking about the catch that against Andrew, that I caught at Devonport, and it was Andrew Hilditch.
Yep.
And they reckon it's one of the best catches ever. But yes, it was. It was good times, and it was. It's nice to relive some of the highlights. So I didn't realise until a couple of years ago that I'm only one of 12 that's played state cricket and VFL football or AFL football in the same year. So I suppose it's got to be a little bit of a pat on the back.
Oh, no doubt. And, to be able to combine the two, even back then, I mean, it's almost impossible to do it these days, but to be able to do it back then and do it as well as you did, terrific. Always admired you as a footballer and a cricketer, Gary, and it's just been a bit of a buzz to have you on the sideline view. So thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, mate.